Please turn in your Bibles to the last chapter of the Bible. The last chapter of the last book of the Bible, chapter 22 of Revelation. I'm going to be concentrating on some things suggested by verse 17 here. So let's give heed to God's word at this time. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." And he said to me, "Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs, and sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." And our text for today, "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Now we go on to the end of the chapter from verse 18 through 20. "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming quickly.' Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." May God add his blessing to what we have read and to what is preached. This is the last in this sort of evangelistic series, Come to Jesus. And it's a threefold come that we read here in Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." There's number one. "Let him who hears say, 'Come.'" Well, there's number two. "And let him who thirsts, come." There's number three. "Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." That's really easy to break this into three parts, isn't it? Where we have the three comes, Why, those are our three parts. So first of all, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Now, in all this series, and we've had this off and on over some months, we've been exhorting people to come to Jesus. And in Him to come to life. To come into newness. To come into forgiveness. To come into a living relationship that never ends with the triune God. To come to be the children of God by adoption. And all kinds of other things. We come to Jesus. In Him we find abundant and everlasting life. The likes of which we have never experienced elsewhere, the likes of which we never can experience elsewhere. Who makes this call? Well, ultimately, and at a most essential level, it is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. He is the one that really and truly who ultimately does the calling. First of all, He does so outwardly by His Word, the Bible, and the preaching of it by the ministers who've been appointed. I'll get into that a little more in a moment. But the Holy Spirit makes an outward call to people wherever the gospel goes forth. The Holy Spirit speaks to people through His Word. Now, you get to hear it here in the auditorium. Others get to hear it through the internet. And there are other ways in which the word being preached gets out into the world, or the word being read. Sometimes the Holy Spirit of God outwardly calls a person over the radio. Sometimes face to face. Sometimes by TV. Sometimes, as we've mentioned, by the radio. Sometimes by a paper. Sometimes by a magazine. Sometimes by a tract. Sometimes by an actual portion or the whole of the Scriptures. But it is the Spirit who calls outwardly by His Word. Now, God's Word, as we've seen before, is without any mistakes, or as we say, inerrant. We make mistakes, and all kinds of other people make mistakes. People's books make mistakes. But because this is the Word of God, it is the truth. We've seen that some time ago, and I've preached on this from a number of different texts, a number of different times. You remember, you know, we've been going through John's Gospel over a period of over 4 years now. You remember when we were back in chapter 17, verse 7? Sanctify them by the truth, said Jesus there in His high priestly prayer, Thy Word is truth. So the Bible, given by the Holy Spirit, it is breathed out by God, it is given by the Holy Spirit, the Bible shows the true way of salvation. It is no lie. It is no mere opinion of men. It is no forlorn hope. God means it. The Holy Spirit in particular means it when He says, come. But He does not only do that outwardly. And that's a good thing. Because if there were a mere outward call, no one would come. For the fact is, friends, as we are taught in Scripture, we are dead in trespasses and sins. I imagine you here in this auditorium could even give me the Scripture reference, because I use that so frequently. Ephesians 2, verse 1. We are dead in our trespasses and sin. Now, when someone is dead, they cannot hear you. They cannot hear you. Children, is there someone you love who is dead? The older you get, the more people there are whom you love who are dead. Many of us adults don't have our dads or our moms or both living anymore. We still love them, and we wish we could talk to them. We wish we could hear their voices talking to us again. But we can't. We can't. We can go to their grave sites. We can go to where they are buried, many of us, and we can talk to the gravestone, but our dads and moms don't hear us. We could cry our eyes out and say, please come back. I miss you so much. And it won't do any good. They can't hear us. For them to be able to hear us, they'd have to be made alive again. And so if there were only an outward call, we could not hear because spiritually speaking, we're dead too. All of us. But the Spirit calls inwardly. He takes the spiritual heart that is dead and He makes it alive. Children, some of you have heard of Jesus talking to Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John's Gospel when He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And that's what Jesus is talking about. The Holy Spirit making a person to be no longer dead spiritually, but to be made all over again. Start all over again with a new spiritual heart that's not dead and hard and cold like a stone, but it lives and it's warm and it loves. It loves God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. It loves His Word. It loves to be holy. It loves to be righteous. And how is it made alive? Does it make itself alive? No more than a dead possum by the side of the road that's swelling up. If you take a pin, you could maybe make it pop and spew yuck all over the place. It can't make itself alive either. And people whom we love who are dead, we can't make them alive again either. But the Holy Spirit does. He makes them alive spiritually now, and someday, if they are believers, if they are Christians' children, if you're a believer, someday, if you die before Jesus comes back, when He does, your dead body, He will make alive again. And everyone else who is in Jesus. And if we have people whom we love who are now in Jesus and who die, we will see them again and be with them again forever and ever. They shall never be taken from us, we never from them. Now I'm off my notes now. I'm off my notes. But the point is this. The Holy Spirit calls some people inwardly. He changes their heart, and that new heart wants to come to Jesus. It no longer lies there dead. It no longer in its deadness like a zombie wants to run away and hate God. In new life, it wants to come to Him through Jesus Christ. It is willing to come. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 2, verse 13, is God who is at work within you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But say, it's not only the Spirit who says come, it's the bride. What bride? What bride? Where did that come from? Well, we need to look a little further if we want to understand. We would look into the chapter before. The coming down of the New Jerusalem, which is the bride of Christ. This is a hint, by the way, that this is nothing literal. This is all highly symbolic. For who is the bride of Christ? Is it a physical city? No, we know elsewhere that it is the Church of Jesus Christ. And that is what the New Jerusalem is, the Church of Jesus Christ. It is the bride who also says, come. Now, do you children remember, do you adults remember, that I said the outward call comes from the Word of God, but it is often through preachers, and this is where the bride, His main agent, the Holy Spirit's main agent in giving that call is the Church of Jesus Christ as a body. It is the Church through whom the call goes. It is from the Church and the preaching of the Word that the Gospel goes. All too often, People have too low a view of the church. We have too low a view of the church. We get all excited maybe about different parachurch organizations and different Christian groups and all this, but we snub our noses at the church. Listen, folks, thinking about some of the parachurch groups I've been or am involved with, Christ did not die for the National Reform Association. Christ did not seek for himself the Navigators or InterVarsity. No, Christ died for the church and is espoused to the church and is remaking the church so that she is no longer ugly and cast aside, such as we see in Ezekiel chapter 16, but is made pure and spotless, without blemish, without spot. To the church is the commission, the great commission given, and the church must therefore do it. Now, as I've said, the Lord Jesus is making his bride to be beautiful so that on the day of their wedding, at the great wedding at which the great wedding feast of the Lamb is celebrated, at that wedding she will be, but she is not naturally wonderful. Naturally, she is unclean. But she is being redeemed, is redeemed, and is being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. She can, therefore, without any self-righteousness, without looking down on others, call sinners to come to grace in Jesus Christ. Because she herself was needy. She herself was filthy. She herself was helpless. And the Lord Jesus Christ in grace set his love upon her. She, therefore, as his beloved one, she is the one who loves him. Calls others to come into her. Calls others to be part of her. Calls others to come to know, to love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first come. The second is this, and let him who hears say, come. Now, thanks be to God, there are many whom the Spirit and the bride call to who do indeed come. Now, I don't know hearts here in this auditorium. I don't know who really and truly belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. I would guess most of you do. Maybe all of you do. It would be wonderful. It shall be wonderful if that is the case, that all of you know or come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Fact is, many do. And when the Spirit works upon them, as they hear the call to come through his agent, the bride of Christ, their hearts are changed, their deaf ears are made open, and their dead tongues are loosened up to tell of the great things that God has done for them. We just had an example here before worship, didn't we? Of someone, when we asked for prayer, talking about something wonderful that had happened. A husband had gotten a raise just this week. And in a time when people are being laid off, when people are being let go, when people are doing without work, to be getting a raise, that's a wonderful thing. And we delight to tell about stuff like that, don't we? How much more wonderful is it that we've been taken from filth to cleansing? That we have been taken from slavery to childhood in the family of God? We've been taken from death to life everlasting. Yes, in temporal things, we're often eager to tell others of the wonderful things that have happened to us. Sometimes, in temporal things, we are quick to warn others of danger too, aren't we? Let's just say you're walking by a neighbor's house, or you've started up your car to go to work. Let's say it's in the winter time and You know, it's dark till pretty late in the morning, and you start driving down the street, and you see a flicker of flame in a neighbor's house. You're not just going to drive on by and think, well, I don't want to disturb them. That's not really my business. You're not going to do that. You're going to stop and you're going to pound on their door. And meanwhile, if you got your cell phone with you, you're tapping out, you're thumbing through, getting that 911 in, right? Of course you are. We need to be warning of a hell to avoid. We need to be telling of a heaven to be gained. And we need to be telling folks of a love that has no end. A love that is available for anyone who will come. A love that they shall receive, and a love that will spring from their hearts as well. Well, you have heard, haven't you? We sing from Psalm 89 sometimes. Oh, greatly blessed the people are, the joyful sound that know. We know that joyful sound. We know, as the hymn says, Jesus saves. Jesus saves! He has saved you. He has saved me. You have heard the Spirit and the bride say, come. Well, you who have heard, tell others. Speak forth the invitation yourself. But what about you who haven't heard? Well, maybe it's gone in on the ears. In fact, if you're sitting here right now, or if you're listening to this over the internet, you're hearing right now in the ears of flesh these words. But what about in the heart? I can testify, friends, that I heard all this in the ear many times before the Spirit came and made me hear it, so to speak, in the heart. How is it with you? Is this something you've never heard before? Or is it something you've heard many times before, yet you've never really heard it? Listen now. For I have been where you are. You can be where I am. Maybe suddenly you've heard all this before, but it never made sense, but now it does. The time has come, friend. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And I, who have been by God's grace been enabled to hear, I say to you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I command you. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you, come. Come to know and to love this one who is lovelier than any. Come to Jesus Christ. This ties in with the last come. And that is, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Let him who thirsts come, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Now, as we read through this chapter, we read about the water of life. That's at the very beginning of the chapter. This is hearkening back in a way. Where did we originally see trees and a river? Well, in the Garden of Eden. It was there that everything was perfect. But Adam blew it all. But now, a second Adam has come. One who did not fall, but who did all his Father's holy will. And he restores. He restores all, makes it better still. For there was but one tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Here are 12. There was only normal water that started out and split into four different streams. Here is a pure river of water of life. It is not merely restored, friends. It's far better than ever Adam and Eve had it. And it is in that light, in that context, that we have this last come. Let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Let me ask you, aren't you thirsty? Aren't you thirsty? You hadn't realized this till now, maybe, but you're thirsting for God. You're thirsting for forgiveness of sin. You're desperate for a living, loving relationship with God. You're desperate for the ability to live for Him. Do you want all the good things in this life? The truly good things? And do you want the life to come promised in the Bible? I come to Him who is the living water. As He told a woman by the side of a well in Samaria long ago. He's the one who gives living water. You're invited. That's not engraved on paper. Well, it's printed on this paper, I guess I should say, isn't it? You're invited. Yes, you're pleaded with to come. You know, in Scripture, so often, when something is repeated, it's for emphasis. Very seldom is there a second repetition. In Isaiah 6, remember? It's one of those rare times. Isaiah saw them, the burning angels. And what did they cry out? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth is full of His glory. Three times. He is superlatively holy. And what have we here? Come. 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 Spirit, He who has heard, they both say, trebly you are called upon, invited, cajoled, pleaded with. God really means it. Come. No matter who you are, no matter what you have been, no matter what you are now, if you want, come. If you want to be done, you want to start anew, you want to know and love this God, why come? Because God will accept you, will accept you, so He has promised. And He doesn't double talk. He doesn't go back on His word. Come. God will accept you in Jesus Christ. Come. 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 And in Jesus Christ, in Him only, in Him certainly, you shall find life. Amen. Let's open up our psalm books now as we come near the end of our worship to Psalm 22i. This speaks of all ends of the earth coming to Jehovah. Not just the Jews, but as we see there in the first of these stanzas here, the kindreds of the nations giving their homage to Him. A seed shall rise in the third stanza here to serve His will. To the aged shall be told about our Lord, then they shall come and shall his righteousness unfold unto a people yet unknown, that this was done by him alone. How wonderful. The promise that sinners shall come. They shall be drawn by cords of love. They shall come and give the triune God glory. If you haven't, you come. You come. Psalm 22 on. Let's stand for this and then the blessing.